Many years ago, I was an instructor in the Air Force. I often told my students, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Questions were one of the ways that could help the students grasp the complex subject matter I was presenting. In fact, I think every teacher would agree that a good teacher wants their students to ask questions. However, every now and then, a student asks a question not to try to learn, but to see if they can expose any weakness the teacher may have. We called it playing stump the dummy. A smart alecky student might ask a question that he or she knew the answer to, as a test to see how much the instructor knew. If the instructor incorrectly answered the question, the credibility of the instructor was now in question. Honestly, it used to drive me crazy. In today's gospel, this could be the type of question that the scribe was asking to when he said, when he says it, that after Jesus answered the young man, no one had the courage to ask him any more questions. Although many tried, people could not trap Jesus because they knew that he understood far more about what he was teaching than they could ever grasp. Jesus had answered the main question that had been debated by the ancient Jewish scholars and is still debated by the Pharisees among us, and even us when we get into a Pharisaical frame of mind. The question is, what is the most important thing that I must do to serve God? What is the most important thing I must do to serve God? What is the one thing that, well, if I do this, I won't have to worry about missing any of the other commandments? How can I get the most reward for the minimum of service to God? Jesus responded to the question with two quotations from Hebrew scripture. The first was from Deuteronomy. It is called Shema Israel. This is the ancient prayer that was and is said by the Jewish people every morning and every evening. It is a prayer that they kept in a little pocket on their doorpost in a capsule called a mezuzah, so they could take it with them wherever they went. Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord with your whole heart, whole mind, and whole soul. Then Jesus added something to that prayer from Leviticus. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now they were forever linked. Jesus' simple statement embraces everything we need to do to serve God. And yet, it demands a radical change in our lives. Every action of our lives is included in this law. We often forget that we are all made in God's image and likeness. We are called to reverence the Lord in the many ways in which he is present in his world. When we love other people, we are loving people who themselves are unique reflections of the presence of God. We absolutely cannot love God and hate others. We absolutely cannot love God and hate others. Sometimes people say that they pray hard and that they come to church often, but they don't feel they're making progress in their spiritual life. Maybe we all feel this way from time to time. Perhaps when we feel this way, we must ask ourselves if we are at peace with God and with other people. Now, we may not like someone, but if we are full of hatred for someone, we are destroying the love of God within us. maybe the young man of the gospel, and perhaps we, to some degree or other, just want a simple list of what not to do to other people. I have been asked, as probably Father Dowling, is it wrong to do this or that? The great teachers of wisdom throughout history did exactly this, but they gave a negative directive. Don't do to others as you wouldn't want them to do to you. Now, Jesus is the only person in history who has given us a positive directive. This, my brothers and sisters, is what we are called to do. Respect God's image within others and reverence this image, just as you wish others would respect and reverence the image of God in which you were created. Then we can honestly say, I am only doing what I would want another person to do for me if I were in their situation. It's then we are living the one commandment of loving God with our whole heart and soul and mind, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. People used to ask St. Teresa of Calcutta why she cared for all the poor and dying on the streets of Calcutta. They would point out to her that these people here weren't even Christian. Her response was simple and to the point. How can you love God and not care for his image? To this we can add, we don't help others according to whether they are Catholic or not. We help others because we are Catholic. God doesn't expect us to leave our families and go to the poorest countries of the world to seek out those who need the most help. But he does expect us to reverence his presence in others. God doesn't want us to be bogged down in a quagmire of laws, but he does expect us to live out the one law of loving him and our neighbors. The people who heard this, who heard Jesus speak, realized this. After he spoke, no one dared to ask him any question. Nor should we ever question the law of love.